In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's progress forward in our discourse. Take out your document. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Let's go to the bottom of page 28 this morning. Amen. We move into a new section. And those who are watching or listening, you go into our website, audio or video, webcast, video section. There's an icon there, and when you click on that icon, this document in its entirety is available. At the bottom of page 28, as I said, we moved this morning into a new sector. Remember, for the past month or so, we have been into the area of nebulous narratives. This morning, we are into conceited scenarios. Repeat after me, conceited scenarios in physicality, secularity measures. The matrix. Gavin is our designated reader. Take your Bibles. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We are basically going to be looking at verses 5 and 6. But every time I go to that 8th chapter of Romans, amen, we seem like we're compelled to really lay out discourse of what Paul is talking about, which is completely different from most teachings out of Romans chapter 8. If you're stuck and overly impressed in physicality and time, you're not going to be able to follow Paul's discourse in this chapter. Well, Deacon, let's see. I don't want to get time, boy. Time. Wow. But let's do it this way. I'll just give some comments in relationship to bringing this into contextuality. In verse 1, Paul draws a conclusion that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And of course, as we went through this in Bible study on Wednesday evening, you can take a pen and scratch the rest of it out of verse 1. There's no Greek to back it up. There's no condition. And the way you mitigate conditions is that you take it out of time. Take it out of time. Take it into the venue where there are no questions of conditions. In eternality, everything is complete. It's done. You don't have to do something to get something. It had you before you could ever think about getting it. I'm talking about salvation. You will always belong to the Lord. Isn't that a comforting blessing? Amen. And in verse 2, as he speaks about the law of the Spirit of life, and here, amen, there are two men There are two expressions of man. One is the man that's in Christ, that is one, let's say man, that is the person, the soul, the being that's in Christ. And such one has been in there from eternity. You were in Christ before time. You know, let's get that straight concerning salvation. Amen. And the other one is expressions of mankind in the flesh. And as we were saying this morning in Sunday school, which one are you in essence? Yeah. Who I am in Christ is forever. Who I am in the flesh, thank God, is temporary.
Hallelujah.
Especially, I talk about myself, this body is wearing down. I can tell the difference. Amen. The big difference. And at some point, some of us, we get a little skittish when we start talking like this, but amen. Go into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, first part of that. He tells us that this earthly house of this tabernacle, this body, may be having been destroyed. At some point, there's a separation. I made the short statement last week. The little boy, he's 10 years old, and he was saying, and he picked the year. This came on the news, 2087. He said, I'll be 75 years old, something like that. I'll be what?
In Christ.
We're always one. I've always been. Now, the scripture says that this body may be having been what? Destroyed. Discarded. And then, we were so skittish about, oh my God. You really understood and knew essence of in Christ, then this part about the body wouldn't upset you. Paul didn't have a death wish at one point when he says, I desire my brothers would be to be with Christ now, but it's necessary that God has decreed that I stay here and minister to you until that time comes. And when that time came, Paul didn't have any problems with it. No, they're not going to minister this in the congregations, because everybody's, not everybody, but the vast majority focus on now. And if now was sustainable, then maybe we'll have something we could deal with. Each day is passing. You get to 2087, and I dare say most of us, unless it's the little baby on the sitting there, young fella, most of us won't be here. You add 75 years to your age. and so Pastor, why do we have to preach and teach about it? Let's talk about something that's comforting and joy and happiness. We are. What more comfort can you get, and joy can you get, in essence, of being a member of the body of Christ, and having been? Everywhere you see in the scriptures is speaking about that which already exists. And then as he moved down through these verses, speaks about what the law can do. And so we don't have to worry about the law. We don't have to worry about trying to get to heaven if you're already there. And how he took care of that in his decree. Now he said in verse 4, now when you get all of this straight about righteousness, you understand you are the ones that live in the what? The spirit rather than the flesh. Your life is in Christ, which is spiritual, not fleshly. That's what he's saying there. He's not, saying that, and they took that and stuck it up in verse 1 in order to give some inference there that what you do determine who you are. What you do in time. Now you notice that this verse follows chapter 7 in Paul is talking about himself. He talked about his flesh. And he doesn't give it a good report, does he? No. And you and I couldn't give a good report of our flesh. Compared to what righteousness is. So as he concludes here, amen, he is saying that righteousness is ascribed to you in Christ. Because Christ is your righteousness. And without Christ, there is no righteousness. And so in verse 5, he says, so those that are of the flesh, and this is where we want to read. Brother Deacon, why don't you read 5 and 6? Is everybody with us? Everyone is with us. All right.
We're reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, the 5th and 6th verses, mm-hmm. King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
I see where they told us, that basically, that all of this is in time, and this is basically, you either projecting your mind into some spiritual continence or trance that controls you and that's not what he's talking about. In chapter 7, he gave an assessment of the flesh.
That's right. Amen.
And everything concerning the flesh. Read that verse 6. In the King James. Then we'll go to the Greek.
Now verse 6 of the 8th chapter of Romans. King James Version. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
He tells us that, this bit, hey, if you go out there and you act like the world, you're going to die and go to hell. That's not what he's saying. Here he's talking about severing or separating the flesh from the spirit. Physicality from spirituality. Let's go into the Greek.
Now Romans chapter 8, verse 5, mm-hmm. interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
For the ones...
That's why we're into the interlinear. And if he falter, we're not going to falter, and there's no Greek word above that, is it?
No.
So you just all right. Take your time now.
For the according to flesh being the things of the flesh mine.
Stop. What he's saying here is the things of the flesh basically are the things that are in physicality. And here he is saying that those who are in the flesh are who dwell upon and prioritize focusing, in essence, of calling it life, these are the ones that here we have the Greek word phenusim, man. See that word there? Man. Oh my God. That word there has a very deep meaning. Let's finish that verse up and then we'll because I'm gonna pull this together from the standpoint of what should be prioritized. Read.
But the according to spirit, the things of the spirit.
So here, what he is saying here, and the key word here, is that verb there, phonousin, man, that which you prioritize.
That's right.
And when he's speaking of the flesh, he's talking about physicality and everything that goes along with it. Hold that a minute. And I know the clock is beating him up, but we can't go to page 2 before we understand page 1. Okay? So let's go to Colossians chapter. A whole list now. We're coming back to this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Now, one thing that to get the verity the veracity of a thing, that is the truth. One of the resounding characteristics of truth is what?
Consistency.
Consistency. This is why when we look into the Word of God, first of all, we make sure that we're into the right sector of what we're conveying, and that would be the grace gospel. And then as we look through and compare these verses, they're all saying the same thing. As long as you are able to differentiate between physical and spiritual, to know what they are. We're going to get into portions of it this morning. I don't know how far we're going to get. If not, whatever, we don't. It's always next week. And that's the best part. You have to come back the next week. Amen. In this Colossians, Brother Deacon, just read that right. Read the King James and then because most people have King James. Then we'll come back with the interlinear. Somebody said, well, this is like a Bible study. And that's where we are then. We've been preached at and amen and got all excited about things that we don't even understand. That's what they do at the rock shows. They get people all up. They throw it out all kind of stuff at you. Fire and confetti. The music is going and basically he's screaming into it. You know that's, so people are excited, but it's all on emotion.
Jesus. That's right.
No. The purpose is to come together to get some comprehension.
Yes, amen.
Because there's something out there waiting on you. All right. Read first in King James.
From the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 2, King James Version. Set your affection on...
Okay, yes, see, this is why we go to the Greek, and I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying that there are certain things that... Read it.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Now let's go to the Greek.
Now, Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 2, interlinear Greek text. The things above mind ye, not the things on the earth.
Okay, so that same expression of that Greek word, mind, basically is dealing with what you prioritize. What controls your countenance and your thought. That's the same Greek word. And here, the difference is spiritual and physical, and he distinguishes the physical from the spiritual in what? Mind what? That the above things are spiritual. And the physical things are what?
Things of the earth. Physical. Not. Don't.
Physicality. That's not where life is. Life is not about what's around you. It's not.
Glory.
Your life is Christ.
Thank God.
Your life is spiritual.
Hallelujah. Come on,
Pastor. Not physical.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God.
So this is what he's saying. Let's go back to Romans, where we were. In that fifth verse, he speaks of things that are physical as relates to the flesh. And he said, those that are in the flesh, that's what you prioritize. That's what physicality, that's what moved you. That's where your aspirations and your aims, your affections are. And here he makes a distinction separating the spiritual from the physical. Notice very slowly as we walk through this. Read verse 5 again, Brother Deacon, very slowly. Let's walk through this slowly.
Romans chapter 8, verse 5, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
For the according to flesh being the things of the flesh mind.
So that's what you're going to prioritize. That's what's going to move you. That's where your hope, aspiration, aim would be. The converse of that is what?
But the according to spirit, the things of the spirit.
Things of the spirit. The non-material. Non-physical. And that seems so strange because what is it that we relate to the most? What I can touch, taste, see, physically connect with. And it seems so real that this is what it is. Because this is what I can see. Now we have an aphorism around here. Repeat after me. It's not in the seeing.
It's not in the seeing.
It's what God has said.
It's what God has said.
So it's in the seeing, not the seeing. What God has said. And here, what our proclivity is one thing, and the Word of God is telling us what? It's the opposite. It's the opposite. What you see, what excites you through vision, the Word of God is telling us that's not about anything. Oh, they're not going to preach this. They're not going to teach this. Because the quickest way to get, you know, have everybody leave you and go somewhere else is you start talking out there, what they call it, in space. You started dealing with the non with the abstract, with the non-concrete things. You started dealing with the spiritual aspect, and here, this is what this scripture is telling us, what the real deal is.
Yes, yes, yes.
And verse 6 tells us the difference of where the two places, the two place us. Read verse 6. Did you finish verse 5?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Now, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 6, interlinear Greek text. For the mind...
Stop! the same Greek word, but here, amen, it's a noun instead of a verb. The man that belongs to the flesh, what about it?
Death.
Not talking about your actions and so forth. It is telling you that all of physicality comes to eventual termination.
That's right.
Every bit of it. Everything in time. When time is no more, as Revelation teaches us, and everything in time, what? It bites the dust. All physicality. Gone. The antithesis of this, it's the latter part of that verse. Read.
But the mind
of... So you got this same word in here. In verse 5, we're dealing with it as a verb, mind. In verse 6, we're dealing with it as a noun. The mind of the spirit, the mind of the flesh. So here, the mind of the spirit, what?
Life and peace.
And that's what everybody said that they want.
Come on, brother.
Yet. Our tendency is to focus on that which is death rather than what is life. Our tendency is to prioritize that which is fading away and deteriorating and ignore that which is abiding. Here's the problem. Let's go to our document. Bottom of page 28. And I want to deal with some definitions. Let's go back to our glossary of definitions at the beginning of the document. We're in our document now. Spiritual comprehensions of measures, the matrix. Turn to the glossary of definitions and let's go down to the one that says artificial intelligence. Brother Deacon, what is that?
Artificial intelligence, mechanized imitation of knowledge.
Now, mostly when we think of that, in the physical sense, when we said artificial intelligence, we think of a computer or a machine or something that has been programmed to do something that works independently of human actually hands-on, but because it has been programmed to do a task or to work in some way, that's the way that it operates. That's the way we review that. In the true sense of artificial intelligence, just as in the physical, the mind, there is a mind behind the machine, there is a mind behind the computer, and having designed and programmed it, in the pure spiritual sense, as we look into the matrix, anything that is construed not to have been designed and pre-programmed is artificial. Our free will, our free thinking, what we do, what others do, as though there is no control and design behind it. That is the artificiality of it. We keep this in mind as we move through this. Now, there are some definitions that I don't have here, but when we reprint this, we will have added these other definitions as we did in the last sector. Let's go to the bottom of 28. Repeat after me, conceited.
Conceited.
Scenarios. In physicality,
secularity,
measures, the matrix. Now let's break that down. Conceited. That word describes having an excessive favorable opinion of some activities, appearances, intelligence. Be fanciful. You know that basically, you know, you put something up real high. Conceited. The word scenario. It is an imagined or projected sequence of events, especially in any of several detailed possibilities. In other words, these are descriptions of scenes and characters. And so here you have aligned something and placed it and placed a big value on it from the standpoint of when you look upon it, you see it as being something that is genuine, that really is, that's really worthy. And so when I break this down, conceited scenarios and physicalities, spirituality, secularity, that is, conceited scenarios and physicality, secularity measures the matrix. What we're saying, basically, in breaking that down, we're saying excessive favorable opinions of abilities and arranged in events as though that is what it is. So basically, you're talking about excessively looking at life and seeing things and projecting them as the essence of joy and peace and serenity and happiness. And you look into the matrix and we say, well, what's there is all, that's all we have to work with. That's not the case. Now, what's there in life? Any frame has been placed there for purpose. Now we're all caught up in processes of life. As though things are in and of themselves the essence of what they are. And we will continue as the scripture has taught us, and we have gone through this many times, that what a thing is has to be defined by what its purpose is. Don't get caught up in processes and forget about purpose. See, processes have to do with do with the scene.
That's right.
And purpose is about God's saying. Amen. And so that thing is what God has purposed of it. look at this reading. We'll have to go through this slow and read through one paragraph today. That'll be fine. Amen. Again, for those that are watching and listening, amen, this document, it's an icon there that you can hit out of an audio or video link there. It links to this document, and we're at the bottom of page 28. Conceded scenarios in physicality, secularity measures are excessively arrayed appearances that are imagined and projected in sequences in life. Are you following me? Reading for many feigned achievements issue innovatory possibilities and artificial intelligence as the most exciting frontier in physicality, secularity measures the matrix. So what are we saying here? Let's come back here. Let's go back to our definitions. Anything that is feigned is that which it's disguised. We would call it a sham. Something that is pretentious. It is assumed as legitimate, but assumed as genuine, but it is basically counterfeit. Achievements. In other words, we look at life and you think the essence of life, and I hear the ministries basically talking and conveying messages to people, and it gives you the idea that the center and the focus of your life is you. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. It's him. Mm-hmm. Your life is not about you. Mm-hmm. Your life is about him and what he has for you. And so they talk about things like your dreams, your goal, your destiny. And God is just like an accommodator there to help you reach your goal. Your destiny.
Amen.
Your itinerary. And that's all, as you look into the matrix you see, is imaginary, and this is why we're dealing with this word conceited here, imaginary itineraries, as though they are genuine. But the only agenda is God's agenda. Your life is about Christ and what he has coursed for you in this arena. Because the end of results and combination of all things are already set. You're a member of the body of Christ before we ever start talking about the matrix. Amen. In eternity, he chose you and placed you in him. He subpositioned you in him. In eternity. That's who you are. That's where you are. And so now we're all caught up with manifestations, which are only representations of things. And we're just impressed with what we see in life. And what you see is not what you think you see. You know, each day we go into, and each one of them say, hey, you got a job, go to it, do whatever, so forth, so on. That's not the highlight of your life. Our families and the things we do, I say, hey, go do it, amen, and be a good husband. And God, be a good father, and this is what Paul has, he writes about all of that stuff. But still, amen, the bottom line is these things in the matrix, amen, basically they are there for experiences, but the essence of who you are and where you are, it's already done. It's a done deal.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank God. Thank you. Thank God. Glory to God. Amen.
So these pretentious achievements, what we think. I mean, because you go through life, and no matter what you do, I mean, I'm going to homegoings and sitting there and talk about what the person did, which is fine, in his place. But what's more important? What they're doing. At that point, what is more important? What they did or what they're doing? Oh, we think of the person sometimes in our minds because we are so tied to the flesh and to physicality that we think that because the body is destroyed, the person is destroyed. There's a separation. The person is not the body. Now, notice last week, the Catholic Church, local Catholic diocese, came out with a ruling that because some people were they were confused. They said, "Now you can cremate." Now, here's what I say. You know, basically, whatever the family together can decide, and if it's going to bother some, I say, don't do it. If it's going to split the family, don't do it. The scriptures say, maybe having been destroyed. Your carcass is not you. That which lays out there in the casket, that's not the person. Yes, that part of the person is gone, but the person is not gone. The being is not gone. What you see there was formed in gestation some whatever amount of years that person lived to go in the womb of their mother's belly. Right? Right? Where were they before then? I said, "Pastor, you crazy." No. You got David, Isaiah, and Jeremiah talking about what they were before they were even formed, before conception. God is dealing with them. And Paul said, "I was made a minister and apostle from my mother's womb." So it speaks of existence within the same.
Yes.
Which goes back to eternality, which deals with things that are spiritual.
Yes. Yes.
Now, does physicality have its place? By all means. In the period of time for testimony's sake that we're on this earth, be the best you can be. Isn't that once a commercial?
Yeah.
Huh? But always know that there are limitations on that.
That's right.
And the joy and the confidence and the peace you have is more about who you are in Christ than who you are in the flesh. Let's go back about 15 minutes and I'm going to bail out of this morning. I know I'm going to come back. For many, framed achievements issue innovatory possibilities. Here's the verse, innovatory. That means to introduce something as original or new. Or to make change is something that established. Now, here's where we're going with this. What we do is we set things up on the basis that things originate in time. Nothing originates in this life. Everything here is the reflector of something, like looking in the mirror. You don't see the essence when you look in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, you see a reflection of the essence. This is the way it is in the matrix. You're only seeing a reflection of essence. And then in many times we have here have the words thing, and basically it looks like things are coming out of their origination as you see them. We think that things originate as they transpire, or as they a witness from our eyes. No. You think that thing is happening as you see it. That's the first time that it has come. No. You ever been out in a big open space and you say, hello? What do you hear? Hello. That's what life is. It's an echo of what God is already, my God, already said.
Oh, already.
It's an echo. Our lives are coursed.
Mm-hmm.
Who coursed them?
God
did. When did he do it? In eternity. For many frame achievements issue innovatory possibilities in artificial intelligence. Now what are we saying? It's like we think that things are happening of their own. There's no design behind them. That basically, as they originate in the essence of the matrix of life as we see them. This is in this sense that we're saying artificial intelligence. Things that just come up of their own. And see, why are we looking at things and we say, what is this? What should we be saying?
What is this for?
What is it for?
Amen.
The purpose defines what it is.
That's right.
The purpose defines what it is. Now, I'm going to just give you a very crude example here. Somebody said, well, that's just too crude. But just anyway, I was somewhere trying to get a parking space. And so the person was getting ready to come out. So I pull up in front of them so that they could get out this way so I could back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what somebody did?
Mm-hmm.
Zoom! And then turn around and looked at me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the first thing is the anger comes up, and then something said, no. Anyone that does something like that, no, they're looking for confrontation. And they're going to get it, but not from me. Not today. God bless you. Pull up. A little closer, was riding around, and there's somebody coming out, and I was able to go right in. All closer, right. Much closer.
Come on.
It wasn't God's purpose and will for me to park in that other slot.
You ain't gonna let nobody run over me.
Sometimes the door seems to open and it closes. That door was never open to you. There's something you wanted and you didn't get it. There's no way you could have gotten it. That was a conceited. That was just a conceited scenario. Huh?
Yeah.
A feigned achievement, something you thought you were going to get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was laid out and introduced as it originating in innovatory possibilities of that which you thought was for you, but it was never for you.
Yeah.
But here you're focusing on the essence of artificial intelligence. As though God is not the design and cause of all things. Your destiny. You have a course. The essence of who you are is your destiny. And who you were is your destiny. Who you always were is your destiny. Let's go back and read that slowly again. Are you following me here this morning? Vain achievements is your innovatory possibilities in artificial intelligence as the most exciting frontier in physicality, secularity, measures, and majors. That's the most. We get focused on that thing. You know, have you ever been looking for something and, man, you're dependent upon that thing? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Deacon? And the whole thing collapsed. Now you're all messed up. That was all a conceited scenario. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. What you thought. Was aligned and disguised so that you thought that's what it is, and it was working on its own. No. What it is what God has already declared. Well, I don't know what that is. And in due time, He will show you what it is.
Yes, Lord, He will. Yes, Lord. That's right. Amen.
And you will know the source. And you'll know that it didn't come out of itself. Oh my God, look, I'm going to have a hard time just finishing this one paragraph today. But going back to Romans there, he said, separate the physical from the spiritual and prioritize the spiritual. Because the physical is terminating. It's death. Mm-hmm. It has an end to it. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual is life and peace.
Yes. Amen.
That's the difference. You ain't get all jointed out and shaped by things that, you know, just like this week, the policeman, ex-policeman, I guess former policeman, lost his job, and now he's going to make the world pay for it. Your life is not about a job. Your life is not about any possession. Your life is about Christ. If you lose that job, you're going to lose it anyway, eventually. That home, you're going to lose it eventually. Mm-hmm. Possessions and things like that, and all of that, amen. Enjoy it while you're there, but don't become so attached to it that, my God, here's the way we should be. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I can't turn loose is Jesus. And as long as I've got Jesus, everything is all right. No matter what happens, what comes, what goes, what stays, what is there or not there, is Jesus. I know I'm going to come back to this, but I'm just read the rest of this. In this mode, these ideal technologies are of paramount importance therein, as leading theorists and practitioners engaging in continuous dialogues with hypothetical parameters engage the major contributions, indulging dignities and values of life vagaries. What are vagaries? What are life vagaries? These are the unpredictable or erratic actions and occurrences, courses of instances. You know, we call it like a whim, scientifically, like a quirk. You know. Actually, that word vagarity comes from the Latin. It means to wander. If you look into the Greek and you see the Hebrew, rather, when you saw the children of Israel, what were they doing in the desert? They were wandering. They didn't really know where they were going, did they? When you're wandering, you are on an unpredictable course that is channeled through erratic actions. And so, when you look at these things, this is how life to you is laid out before you. No wonder we're basket cases. No wonder. Because the thing that's moving and controlling us, has no end to it and has no prescribed course to it if we are viewing it as in and of itself. But oh, thank God, all things are purposed.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
All things are focused. All things are predetermined. All things have been designed, pre-designed. Not according to what I want. You say, well, I wonder why I can't get what I want. Because life is not about what I want. Why do I plan things and the opposite happens sometimes? Because those were my plans and they didn't align with God's predetermined design. They didn't align with God's purpose. And when that happens, the two don't mesh and they will never mesh. And one of them got to go. And which one has got to go? Didn't Jesus give us an example in Gethsemane?
Sure did.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lord, if it be possible, this line, of course, he was giving us an example because it wasn't like he didn't know what was going to happen. But that was an example, a manifestation for our sake. He said, let this cup is pass. Let this cup pass. He said, but what? Nevertheless, this is not my agenda. How many of us can think that way? Whose agenda is it? Who is your life? I'm not gonna finish that up today. What is life about? Is it about you or is it about him? Is it centered around you or is it centered around him? Is it about your purpose or his purpose? Your dreams or his decorations? Your destiny? You know what your destiny is? Whatever God has coursed for you. And it's only yours because that's what he has assigned to you. actually in that, it says, Paul said, I have finished the course. Mm-hmm. And of course, they plopped that mine in there, basically. And it's yours in relationship to the fact that that's what God has assigned to you. I say this to them through, don't go through life depending upon what you see for your happiness and your peace. Draw upon the wells of your salvation and who you are in Him. Draw upon the essence of true joy and true peace and true serenity, which deals with the essence of you as a functioning member of the body of which Christ is the head. So it's not about what you want. It's about what He wants. Not about what you will. It's about His will. It's about the essence of what God has laid out for you. Oh my God. The essence of life. It goes way beyond what you're dealing with today and tomorrow and the next day 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 and the next day. Everything's already set. Oh, what a pity for God's people to have to close their eyes, wake up in the arms of Jesus to finally realize how precious and how great and how glorious it is. But to know it now. Everybody say now. Through the knowledge of Him who loved us and saved us and son positioned us and placed us as the most favorable and blessed creation, and that is those who are members of the body of Christ. Oh, don't you just love Him this morning? Don't you just love Him? Hey, give Him a praise. Don't you just love Him? Give Him a praise. Give Him a hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.